are out of our prophecy series for now. It's a 7-week series that just finished. I think the last one's got to be installed because Charles, the guy that helps with the tech stuff, has been in the hospital. He had to have some spine surgery, and he's doing well and should be back. So we're like 2 weeks ahead. Pray he comes back this week. I'm praying he comes back. But he's doing much better, and everything went well. And I just wanted to let you know. Well, today, can y'all see?
No.
Dan, I need just a little bit more light right here. Okay, we're gonna work this out. If not, y'all bring flashlights with you. We'll get it all worked out. Is that a little better there? Okay.
One more.
One more? Well, that's. I wish you could come up here with me. I got so much light on me right here. I'm getting a suntan right now. I'm healing up good from skin cancer, though. Praise the Lord. Yeah. I don't have cuts all over me. Well, today, I wanted to break out and just do a kind of a standalone message called Dependency on Christ. How are we dependent on Him? Or how shall we be dependent on Him? Or maybe we're not dependent on Him, and He's called us to yield, to surrender. So there's a familiar verse there, Proverbs 3:5-6, but lots of verses we'll look at today as we lean into this value today about what it means to be a spirit-dependent person that follows Jesus and we depend on Him and not on ourselves. And I'm really encouraged by this. I think it'll speak to your hearts today. I certainly hope it does. That's been my prayer time as I've been reading the Word. So let's look at this together. I got a question I'd ask you. Why is it so hard to trust in God? Now, let's be honest, because sometimes He doesn't answer in our time the way that we want Him to, and we're going through a hard time, we're in anguish, we're in pain, we're in a broken relationship, there's something going on, and we're like, God, if I'm honest, Father, it's hard to trust You. So I just thought, that's a great question to ask. Why is it hard to trust God sometimes? Now, you can be rhetorical. It's not rhetorical. You can respond and let me know, why is it for you sometimes hard to trust God?
Because we're human and impatient.
Okay. Susan's human and she's impatient. And all of us. So we're impatient. Okay.
Stubborn.
Good answer.
Stubborn and want to lean on our own understanding.
We are stubborn, prideful, arrogant.
Know it all.
Lean on our own understanding. Okay. What's another reason?
Well, I think sometimes I ask God to fix a certain situation, but actually I have it in my mind the way I want it to be fixed. Mm. So I kind of want to help Him along sometimes.
I hope that came out.
He doesn't need my help.
She said, I think God needs my help, and I want Him to fix it this way, but He doesn't. And that's kind of paraphrasing what she said. But we do. I mean, we have a certain outcome that we would expect that we'd like to happen. And how's that working for you? Not very well. But yet we know from the record of Scripture, from the testimony of our lives, if we've been following Christ for a long time, that He is consistently, forever faithful. And He always fulfills His word. And we can trust Him. Now, how about man or woman? Can you trust Him?
No.
Even your closest confidant will fail you at some point, but the Father never does. So I thought, Lord, this is kind of a good lesson for us to think about. Why is it so hard? And I think our rebellion, our pride, our sinful nature, whatever it is, and y'all gave some great answers. But here's the reality. I want you to write down two words. Relinquish control. Isn't that a great word? It's a hard word, but when we come to the end of our rebellion, our pride, our self-sufficiency, and we go, Lord Jesus, I want to relinquish control. It's amazing how things begin to work out from His perspective and His way. I mean, your kids. How many of you had a hard time relinquishing control of your kids? Yeah. Or relinquish control of your employer, or your employees, or your friends, or the situation. You're like, Lord, I want to take this in my hands like Linda, okay? And we're just picking on Linda. Linda was just vocalizing what we were all probably thinking. Jonathan Edwards, this old great preacher, said, God glorified, or is He glorified in man's dependence? When we're dependent on ourselves and independent, God is not glorified. But when we come to the point where we go, God, I want to be dependent on you, he is most glorified. Another thing I love is he gets more glorified when we just say, Lord, I trust. I lean into you. And Lord, I'm going to trust you whatever the situation is. I mean, you know, I think about all the times I pray for the sick, and all the times I will pray for the sick if my life continues. And I think about how many times people get better, they get well, they get whole. Hallelujah. How many times they don't. But he's still God, and the church said.
Amen.
And we depend on him. And he's able. So here's some thoughts. The problems associated with trusting anyone more than God. Well, sometimes we trust the wrong thing. I'm not going to ask you out loud, but there are things that you have trusted in, and it wasn't God, and you found it to be what? False, shallow, weak, unmet needs. But you trusted in it. And you're saying, well, here's something. We can even trust in our family, and that'll let us down in the end. We could trust in hobbies. We could trust in our profession. We could trust in our creed or whatever it is, and we trust, and it's the wrong thing. So God says, I want you to trust me. Because if you'll trust me, I'll take care of it, and I'll see you through the valley. And I might even take you to another mountain. How many like to be in the mountains, on the mountaintop of God? Isn't that a great place just to be up in the mountain with God, close to Father God, and you feel connected? I feel that way every time we come to the communion table. I feel closeness to Christ. Do y'all feel that way? But somehow between that communion table and this afternoon or Wednesday afternoon, sometimes there's a disconnect. Raise your hand if you know what I'm talking about. Yeah. And we get disconnected because we don't depend on Christ. We depend on ourselves. So, Lord, I'm going to trust you. Here's another one. Whatever we trust becomes our God. Sometimes we make idols out of things of this world, and we begin to trust, we begin to put our embrace in them. And that could certainly be family or riches or friendships, relationships. You know, the list is incredible. But here's what I know. The first thing that you put on your list is the thing that controls your life. You ever thought about it that way? If you wrote down a list of things you trust in, I hope the very first thing you write down is Jesus or God, Holy Spirit. But if you go, my mate, my friend, my job, my fill in the blank. What else can you put in the blank?
Children.
I put my children in there? Yeah. What else?
Myself.
Okay, yeah. What else? Anything else?
Government.
What's that?
Government.
Put it. Oh, my goodness. I know Pat did not say our government. He was just saying for the rest of y'all's benefit. He wasn't saying for his trust. Okay. What else?
Money.
And our money? Yeah. How's that working for you? Yeah. Do you ever have enough? You know, I was reading this week. I was doing this thing about study and trust. And I came across a thing on Larry King, and I found it incredibly interesting. You know, he did, I forget how many tens of thousands of interviews, made $1 zillion, but he didn't understand the Christian faith, and he certainly didn't understand marriage. He was married 8 times. And he called himself a Jewish agnostic, because he was raised Jewish, but he was married all these times. One time he was married to a Mormon, and so he said, well, you raise the kids Mormon, and I'll take my kids. I'll take the kids once a year to Yom Kippur or something, because he's not even a practicing Jewish guy. But they asked his daughter one time, they said, your dad, what's the good thing? She said, in all the fame that my dad has been able to receive and achieve in this life, he's not changed. He's still the same person. I said, well, what's the toughest thing about your dad? And I found this so interesting. She said, the tough thing about my dad is my dad never has peace. And then I read this article, and said, he went on to say that I've met with world leaders, I've met with world religious leaders, and they seem to have something that I don't have, but he never came to trust in Jesus. Isn't that a sad commentary? And we just say, wow, well, he's a famous guy. Well, whoever it is, it's what we depend on. But let's go back to Proverbs 3:5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. Your own understanding, your own intellect, your own volition always seems to get you and me in trouble. So we trust in the Lord. We lean not on ourselves. So I wrote here for you at the top, look at it, the message truth, and just circle the word dependent and rely on Him. Here it is, the message truth. We're told from a young age to be independent. Are we not?
Yes.
How many of you want your kids to be independent? How many of you want to feed your kids all the days of your life? How many of you want to change their diaper for the rest of your life? I don't think so. Have you ever noticed the similarities about children and older adults? That's all I'm saying. We tend to revert that. But look what it says. But we want to be at a young age independent, not dependent. However, God wants us to rely on Him. Circle that. And to need Him daily in our lives. So God's always calling you and me to rely on Him. And then there's a quote that's going to come up. It's watch the knee, Zach. Pull that up for me. A lot of words on the screen. And I want you to look at this. This is profound. Living in the Spirit means that I trust the Holy Spirit to do in me what I cannot do myself. This is completely different from the life I would naturally live of myself. Each time I'm faced with a new demand from the Lord, I look to Him to do in me what He requires of me. It's not a case, listen, I love this line by Watchman Nee. It's not a case of trying, but it's a case of trust. Not of struggling, but of rest and breathe. Isn't that a great word about trust? God, somehow I found that I would be independent. I was taught to be independent, and independence is good to a point. But Lord, that's run a rail. That's run amok. God, I want to trust You. I want You to do in me what I can't do for myself. So, in preparation for this, I came up with 6 statements of trust, and I want to give them to you. Because I think these are good. They're important. Number one, don't depend on you. Don't depend on yourself. When you and I depend on ourselves, we're going to miss the mark every time. And you're saying, but Keith, I'm so talented, I'm so bright. Well, I know you think you are. And maybe you are. But at the end of the day, you can't trust in you. Do you remember maybe times in your life when you really just said, man, God, I got this. I got this, God. I don't need You right now. I can do this myself. Oh, my goodness. And you fell flat on your face. Or, God, I can do this. And He's like, no, you can't. I want to help you. But you're not willing to ask me. You're too prideful. So, depending on God, I think it always involves this. It involves waiting patiently. Write that down. Waiting patiently on Him to work. And I've told y'all so many times at the table, I have a shortage of patience. I pray for patience every day. I pray for the work of the Holy Spirit, the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, produce in me love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. 9 attributes of the fruit of the Spirit. And it goes on to the verse to say, in keeping with repentance. Lord, produce that in my friends. Produce that in my life. How many of you have been asking God to produce patience in you? There's a difference between asking for patience. I don't ask for patience. God, I want to learn patience. Oh, my goodness. I get enough opportunity to learn it. I'm not. But, Lord, would You produce that in me by Your Spirit? And, Lord, would I not be so hard-headed? Would I learn to listen to You, to trust in You? Philip Yancey, a great writer, he wrote a book, What's So Amazing About Grace, and he wrote all these books. He's only sold like 15 million copies. I think he's a pretty good writer today. He says, faith is believing in advance what will only make sense in reverse. Can I say that again? I like that. Faith is believing in advance what only will make sense in reverse. God, I trust You. I trust You for the outcome, God, because I know that You're able to do this. Look at the second one. This is good. If we want to have a dependence, a trust life, we got to cry out to God. Proverbs 3:6, the other part says, seek His will in all you do, and He will show you which path to take, in one translation. I got another verse, Psalm 62:5-8. Listen to the psalmist that is broken and is crying out to God. I depend on God alone. I put my hope in Him. He alone protects and saves me. He's my defender, and I shall never be defeated. My salvation and honor depend on God. He is my strong protector. He is my shelter. And then he goes on in that verse. Trust in God at all times, my people. Tell him all your troubles, for he is our refuge. Isn't there an old song called, that we used to sing, Tell Him All My Troubles? Or is that just a line in the song? How many of you have troubles in the room this morning?
Have a talk with Jesus.
There you go. Have a talk with Jesus. I knew you were going to get it. Have a talk with Jesus. Anybody got any trouble? Yeah. Anybody? Who you been telling? Your neighbor? They don't care. Who you been telling? Your friend? Been telling your mama? I know your mama. She has to care. Who you been telling your troubles? Hope you've been telling Jesus. Jesus, the troubles are overwhelming. I'm going down. I'm hurting. I'm bearing my soul, God. I'm crying out. And don't you think that's what God wants us? Depend on me. Cry out to Him. And so I find that verse, I see that He's all-powerful, eternal, infinite. He's creator, He's savior. And yet, it's such a small decision to cry out to God. But so many times we forfeit it. You know when we cry out to God? When do you cry out to God finally? When do you finally cry out to God?
Desperate.
What?
It's desperate.
When you're desperate?
At the last moment.
The last thing. And don't you know He's honored? I think He wants us to be our first response. Lord, I tell you what. This week, I'm going to go ahead and prophesy. This week, some of you or all of you are going to have something you cannot do by yourself. And God is there. And He wants you to cry out to Him. And when you finally make enough mistakes or mess it up enough, or you feel like you have nothing else to do, or desperation, you're going to cry out. But why not cry out to Him when you first start? God, I'm asking for Your grace for today. I've been praying for this service all week, the last several weeks as we come in here. I'm so excited that we finally made the move and we're here. But man, it's been like, God, we're crying out to You. God, we want You to pour out Your Holy Spirit on the congregation. God, we want You to bring revival in our heart. God, we want You to bring new people in our midst. God, give us this neighborhood. God, give us regions for Christ. Give us the nations. God, move at the table. I told Ken today. Ken, I noticed Ken today. See, I can't see y'all driving up anymore. When I walk out in the foyer and I see y'all coming in on two wheels, that's been gone. I guess I could open these curtains and I could look. Hadn't thought about that yet. But you know, now we just kind of come in, you know. But God's got something for us here. And are we waiting for Him? We're like, Lord, I'm believing You for something new. Man, I just begin to ask the Lord for a neighbor, for a friend, for somebody to come. It's kind of cool. Like, I've been to somebody, we're in the performing arts center. What do y'all do? Y'all do like dance or drama or band right now, man. And now I go, hey, we're in the backside of Galarado Global. We're in the fellowship hall. Hey, did y'all see our sign that we put up this week out there? Hey, man, we're official now. We got a 24/7 sign. It's beautiful. And it's like, man, invite people. Hey, let me tell you something. Here's my goal. I don't want to play secret church. I want us to tell everybody. Y'all look in here. You know what they told me? They said, Pastor, how many chairs you need? 100? 150? Oh, man. I wish. That's right. But you know what? We can start putting chairs. I would love to come to multiple services in here because we can't get all you people in here. Because God's just moving. Come in. I tell you what. We ought to go on a field trip one day. If we just grew up in the neighborhood today, you think there's any lost people all through here? You know, I grew up about 6 blocks from here. I did. You know, we got some members of our fellowship that live just, Don, man, Don's so pumped. Don's just around the corner. Bob and Michelle, they're just down the street. Ken, that's why I can pick up the gun. Ken got so excited today. I noticed he got here early. Well, we saved him 20 minutes. The man comes from Greenville, so a little closer. All right. Hey, you can't be late anymore now, brother. Hey, I'm putting it on you, man. You the man. All right. So, here, look at this next one. Check yourself by God's word. Jeremiah 17:9. The human heart is the most deceitful of all things, desperately wicked. Who really knows how bad it is? So, some things about checking ourselves is, let's not fear the bad news. We're all going to get some bad news that's come to our life. But I like what Psalm 112 7. He is not afraid of bad news. His heart is firm, trusting in the Lord. When bad news tries to grip us, tries to paralyze us, let's cry out to our God and let's see what His Word says and let's walk through it with the Lord. Now, we walk through seasons where things are hard. Just this week, Friday, they had a precious member that I've met in this room with several times at Wednesday night dinners. I've come over here. I see him in the hall. He went to see Jesus last week. And this church is a lot older than us. And a lot of them have been passing away the last 2 years that I've been here. They're kind of aging out. They're kind of aging into heaven, you know. And I'm just saying, God, help us to be a strong witness while we're here. Lord, we want to trust you because, Lord, you keep your word. Listen to Psalm 33:4. God keeps his word. For the word of the Lord is right and true. He is faithful in all he does. You know what that tells me? I can trust him. Because he's never failed.
Right.
He's forever truthful. He's forever just. He's forever righteous. He's forever holy. He is my God. Is he your God?
Amen.
And you trust him. You say, Lord, I can trust your promises. Look at the fourth one. Here you go. Number four. Listen to the Holy Spirit. Listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, speak to this congregation corporately. Speak to us individually, Lord. Give us ears to hear you. John 14:26 says, but when the Father sends an advocate, that's the Holy Spirit, as a representative, he will teach you everything and will remind you of everything I've told you. Did you know we can have recall in the Holy Spirit? And he can bring back those verses. This just hit me. I got so much to preach, but I'm moved right now. Wow. Right across that parking lot y'all park, there's a field. Right next to that, there's a black asphalt parking lot. There's a church. It's called Gallery Baptist Church. I got dropped off there when I was a little kid. I grew up in a non-Christian home, nobody knew Christ, and I got dropped off over there. And there used to be a basketball goal over the asphalt. And they told me, they said, Keith, of course they knew I was a pagan, they wanted to see me get saved, and that's why they invited me. They said, if you will come to RA's on Wednesday night, you can play on our DBC. And I was so proud of that. I had a DBC jersey. I was so skinny. Yeah. I was a little bit anything. Just use your imagination. And I was there, and I played basketball. And you know that's where I first started hearing God's word. And we had this verse that made us memorize. And the night I came to Christ, it became a fire in my soul. It says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the old is gone, the new is come. If anyone's in Christ, he's a new creation. And I was new by the Spirit of the living God. But I started hearing it in that place there. And I started thinking about just come back to Dalrymple. I said, this is kind of neat. I've kind of come back to my roots 45, 46 years later. I was just right here in the neighborhood, right over there. Isn't God good? You know what his word is? Faithful. So listen to the Holy Spirit. And, you know, we can talk about that all day, and we will at different times. Depending on God, something that we say, but really it's an action we take. Lord, when you speak, give us courage to follow. Give us a heart to obey you. All right, look at the fifth one. Learn to trust in the tough times. Well, I want you to trust in the good times, and that's kind of easy. But learn to trust in the difficult time, the tough time. Psalm 13. This is only a short little psalm, and I want to read it to you. Oh, Lord, how long will you forget me? Forever? How long will you look the other way? How long must I struggle with anguish in my soul and sorrow in my heart every day? How long will my enemy have the upper hand? Turn and answer me, O Lord my God. Restore the sparkle in my eyes or I will die. Don't let my enemies gloat saying, we have defeated him. Don't let them rejoice at my downfall. I love verse 5. I want you to circle it. But I trust in your unfailing love, and I will rejoice because you've rescued me. I will sing to the Lord because he is good to me. You can trust God in the tough time. Right, church?
Amen.
And some of y'all have got some tough times, and you've had some tough times, and you'll have some tough times to come. We don't know what tomorrow we hold, but we can walk with the Savior can have a personal, dynamic relationship with Christ, and we can overcome. And the Bible says we're more than conquerors through Christ who loved us, and nothing, absolutely nothing, can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. You're saying, "I'm in a tough time, Ken." No, I can't. Can Dad? Nope. Not from the love of Christ. So, Lord, help us to trust in you, not ourselves, but in the blessed Creator. For the word of the Lord holds true, and we can trust everything He says. Psalm 33:4. God, if you say it, I'm going to believe it. I'm going to lean on it, God. Because you cannot lie. You are truth. So, Lord, as we look to you this morning, we just want to find some new spiritual resolve. Because we want to be witnesses. And look at the sixth one. Lead into the Spirit when you're in the groan zone. I love this one. Have you been in the groan zone lately? Here it is. I mean, in the morning, I know Mason, all you young ones, you and April, Zach, y'all can't identify. But all of us that are over 50, 60, 70, do any of y'all, do your body, does it groan a little bit? What does it sound like? I don't know. Y'all let me know what does it sound like?
That's raspy treats. Snap, crackle, pop.
Yeah. Oh, man, it's just tough. And then we groan. Then we get up. And I know, y'all get that coffee pot and y'all start shaking. You say, Pastor, I figured out I got a coffee pot in my bedroom. I just wake up and start drinking. Somebody said, Pastor, I come to church with an IV. I got an IV drip. Coffee. All 24/7. But here's what I know. We get in the groan zone. You be young or old, you groan. But when you lean into the Spirit and trust Him, we overcome. Matter of fact, I'm going to give you some great verses on this because the Lord's already answered this. Psalm 5:1. Oh Lord, hear me as I pray. Pay attention to my groaning. I did not make that up. That is in the Word of God. I love that. Pay attention, God, to my groaning. Somebody say, Pastor, I just got a new prayer and I'm ready to go home. Okay. All right. Listen to Ephesians 1:19 and 20. I pray that you will begin to understand the incredible greatness of His power for us who believe in Him. This is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead and seated Him in the place of honor at God's right hand in the heavenly realms. See, what I've noticed is, have you ever noticed when you go to a funeral and you're sitting there and you're grieving the loss of a friend, of a life, and there's this quietness in your heart? Have you ever noticed you sharpen your goals, you refocus your life? Has that ever happened to anybody? I'm a pastor, and I do a lot of services, but I go to them, and it makes me recalibrate, prioritize things, and I think about it. But what I found out is many times our resolve fades, but we have the power of Christ to be overcome and to make real permanent change. And when you groan, just say, God, I need your help, Lord. Help me through this groaning, Lord. This groaning is tough, but Lord, I know that you're with me. So Lord, I'm going to trust you through the groaning. The scripture says He makes groans for us. He makes intercession. Jesus intercedes on our behalf to the Father. I want you to hear this thought today. This is probably the most important thing I'm going to say all day. God wants you and me to be spirit dependent, not self dependent. And can you and I learn self dependent is when we focus on what we can do. Self dependent are people that look for strength inside themselves. Self dependent people believe that they have something to offer. But what God wants is spirit dependent people. They seek to crucify their old ways of flesh and let Christ live anew in their life. So Lord Jesus, the people at the table, would you make us a spirit-dependent people? Because you are magnified in Jesus. So Lord, we need you. We trust you. We're looking to you today for a word. I like what Jeremiah 17:8. Listen to this. But blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in Him. They will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. It is not fear when the heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in a year of drought, and it never fails to bear fruit. See, Jeremiah gives us a picture of a tree planted to an ever-flowing stream of water. Do y'all know we have an ever-flowing stream? He's called the Holy Spirit. Jesus says the Holy Spirit comes to reside in us. And He wants to be rivers, tributaries of living water that wells up in us. Lord, may we tap into that source today as we trust in God. Lord, You are faithful. Lord, You are good. The daily doses of Jesus, it has helped us grow. Let me just say this real quick. I'm going to start a series about grasping the Word, and I'm going to be hammering a lot in the next several weeks about our time with Jesus. Amen. Bring your Bibles, please. Bring your study Bible. Bring your Bible here. Let's mark them up together over the next 3 weeks. And the church said,
amen.
But I want us to study the Word together. I want us to get into it, see what God has to say. And then we put our confidence in Christ. And our default is dependency on Jesus, not on ourselves. God, show us what that means, what that looks like, Heavenly Father. Lord, we want to trust You. We want to live a life that's totally dependent on You and not on ourselves. That's God's word this morning for us, is the dependence. Listen to this thought. I'm not going to write that. Dependence starts by acknowledging Almighty God as the owner of everything and the controller of every circumstance. Do y'all believe God controls the circumstances? Do you believe God's sovereign and complete control? I do. So, Lord, we want to depend on You. Whom else do we have in heaven, oh God, but You? And You're sufficient. And Lord, I'm going to run to You. My part's to trust and obey. Lord, I got to shift. I got to shift from this mindset of being dependent on what I can do to shifting to say, Lord, what can You do in me? What can You do through me? That's God's word to us this morning as I try to just talk about trusting and realizing that we have no other option than God. Because when we trust in Him, there's a reward. There's a great reward when we trust God. Peace, confidence, victory, hope, joy. Anybody else got one? Mercy? Huh?
Assurance.
Oh, that's a good one. Assurance. Who else?
Grace.
Grace. Woo, grace for the journey. That's eight. Come on. Let's get 10. Got another two? Power. Woo! Good. Give me a 10. Y'all want to go to lunch? Give me a 10.
Confidence.
Jill must be hungry, boy. She came up that quick. Thank you, Jill. Stole my thunder. I used to like you. No, I still love you. All right. Hey, write this down about the groan. I somehow missed it. 2 Corinthians 12:10. For when I am weak, then I am strong, okay? And in Psalm 5:1, that's where I told you, give ear to my words, O Lord, consider my groaning, because God knows that we're a groaning people. Okay, I can keep going, but I'm not. I'm going to bring us to an end, but here's what I want to do with us today. I want to give you Psalm 4:5, chapter 4, verse 5 of the Psalm. David tells the readers, he tells us, offer right sacrifices and put your trust in. Lord, this morning, may we put our trust in the risen Christ, in Him alone. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, You are faithful and true. Thank You for Your amazing love. And Lord, give us confidence and power. Give us strength and joy and peace as we trust in Christ. In the name of Jesus. Amen.